It's time for the Faith Connection Show with your host, Dr. David Miller, equipping people to connect with their purpose. In the next half hour, you will be inspired with words of encouragement, and you'll be motivated by experts in the respective field who have been where you're trying to go on the Faith Connection Show. But first, here's an inspirational word.
This is Bwana Miller Cannon with your word of the day. Your true passion isn't in your career or the amount of money you make. You must search for the real you, the person buried under other people's perception of you. Are you truly the person they perceive you to be? If not, start living your reality, not your perception. Discover who you are and whose you are, and watch your passion and purpose produce the profession and paycheck you desire. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Connection Show. And here's Dr. Miller with his special guest.
We have in the studio with us today Rocky Cabagnat, who is an attorney in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina. And Rocky, we're just glad to have you on the show with us today because we've got some exciting things to talk about with our audience today. And we know you're going to fulfill us with that great connection point today when it comes to law and nonprofit.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Dr. Miller.
Listen, Rocky, tell us just a little bit about yourself because I want the audience to kind of grasp your history a little bit, and then we'll talk through some other things.
Okay, well, I am a native of Salisbury, North Carolina, and I went to North Carolina for undergrad, so I'm proud Tar Heel. Mm-hmm. I attended law school down in Gainesville, Florida, so I'm also a part-time Florida Gator as well. I got cut my teeth in practicing law down in Florida, in North Central Florida, as a legal services attorney.
Okay.
And so that's how I kind of got into the game, so to speak, in public interest law. And I spent about 8 years down in Florida, you know, sort of doing work in landlord-tenant, consumer protection. But the biggest area that I did, and this is a segue into nonprofits, was that I started working with community organizations, faith-based organizations focused on affordable housing. And so that was an area of law. They sometimes call it community economic development.
Okay.
And so as a legal services attorney, I provided, you know, legal services to those organizations that were trying to, you know, develop, rehab, build, conserve affordable housing for low income and you know, working class folks. And so my sort of tour of duty, because, you know, when you're doing public interest work, it's a little bit like soldiering, right?
You're right.
Because you're out there, it's thankless, but, you know, at the same time, you feel like you're, you know, I mean, they've always told us at conferences, you're doing God's work, right?
Right.
Because if you're serving the poor, and those who can't afford an attorney, you know, there's always that old saying is that what's more infuriating than a poor person is a poor person with an attorney.
Well, you know, the scriptures are correct about that. It says when you give to the poor, you lend to God, man.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal that. I'm taking that, man.
Well, I stole it from the Bible.
Oh, okay.
Let me say it that
right.
way. Now, you know, Rocket, in North Carolina, and of course, that's the area where you practice law,
mm-hmm.
there are 120,000 nonprofits North Carolina, and only about 36,000, I think, are tax exempt.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Charlotte area, where you primarily practice, there are about 427 in the Charlotte area.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to have your hands full with having to give instructions to that many nonprofits, because I think your practice that you're doing now lends itself to nonprofit law. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
There are nonprofits that are private people that are wanting to do a nonprofit that are listening to us today.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you, what is the very first step that someone should take in order to set up a nonprofit?
Okay. This happens quite a lot. And so many nonprofits start with their genesis comes in a very, you know, various means. A lot of times there's a founder, and usually maybe there's one person, and they see in the world around them a social ill,
mm-hmm.
whether it be, you know, diabetes to just homelessness to autism, you name it, the environment, they feel very passionate about this. And so the idea is that, well, I've heard about a nonprofit, I've heard about 501c3, I've heard about tax exempt. And a lot of those terms, some are very separate from a legal aspect, but
well, why don't we stop just a moment in the interview, and for the listeners' sake, let's tell the difference between a 501c3 and you know, standard non, but okay. Talk to us a little bit about
sure.
that.
Sure. So in North Carolina, there are a number of business entities that you can choose to incorporate. So that's there. So that's the first step if you're going to, and so there, obviously, you know, there's a limited liability company, a corporation. Well, one of the choices is called not-for-profit corporation, and that's the one that you would want to choose. And so you go to the state, you pay $60, and you file something called Articles of Incorporation, and you fill out the form there and answer certain questions, and voila, you will be given something called a North Carolina not-for-profit corporation. So it's right. a business. So
okay.
That's the step. So that what a lot of people get mistaken is that $60 to Raleigh does not get you a 501c3 tax exemption. And so the problem with that is that to get the tax exemption, you have to incorporate, and then you have to apply to the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service.
Rocky, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to hear from Kalante Gavin. This is No Ordinary Worship. And then we're going to come back and hear some more interesting thoughts about nonprofits.
This ain't no ordinary worship. This ain't no ordinary song, yeah. The God of service is greater than the ordinary. So I'ma give them all I have in this world. Come on, help me say, tell a story about a woman with an issue. Had it 12 long years, didn't know what to do. She heard about a man coming through her time. She fell to her knees and crawled on the ground. This is what she said, yo. She said, if I could only touch but the give of his garment, I'ma give it all I have in the moment. Come on, help me say, yo. This ain't no ordinary worship. Oh, no, it ain't, no, it ain't, no, it ain't. This ain't no ordinary worship. Yeah, yeah. The God of service. This man, he was betrayed, crucified for you and me. This man only wanted to make us free. Oh yes, he did.
Oh yes, he did.
Oh, listen, y'all. But in 3 days, he rose with. Play it out.
This ain't no ordinary. This ain't no ordinary song. No, 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 no. The God I serve is greater.
The God I serve is greater.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm gonna give him all I have.
So I'm gonna give it all I have.
Oh, 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 oh.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Connection Show. And here's Dr. Miller with his special guest.
You hit something there that I wanted to discuss. You said it is a business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people sometimes confuse, mm-hmm. because they're thinking, okay, if I'm going to do a business, I'm doing an LLC or something like that. But when you form a nonprofit, you're actually forming a business.
Absolutely.
But you're actually saying that the business is not for my profit,
mm-hmm.
as an LLC would be, but it is for... So, and I'll let you explain that.
Yeah, so really the major difference between, let's say, if you start a corporation, a for-profit corporation, and a nonprofit corporation, is what you do with the profits.
Right.
That's the only real difference. So having a board of directors, following, you know, corporate formalities, like having minutes and other things of that nature, all those are the same. Where they deviate, really, in a real essence, is what you can do with the profits. If you have a for-profit, you can declare a dividend. I helped found this company, if we had a good year, you can give me some of the money, right?
Okay.
I can get a bonus or something like that. With a nonprofit, say for instance, we got our overhead was $50,000, we got $100,000 in grants and donations. I can't just, you know, oh, well, I did a really good job. I'm the founder of the nonprofit and I can take, you know, $25,000 out of that.
Right.
No,
right.
You have to reinvest any profits into the mission.
Okay.
And so for-profit organizations are more or less profit driven and nonprofits are mission driven.
Right.
And so those are kind of the differences, but how they operate from having to follow most of the, you know, like requirements of paying unemployment taxes, workers' compensation, you know, all those sort of things, they all apply to nonprofits. And, you know, I think that that's, you know, when you have a big heart and you feel the spirit and you're very, you know, interested in doing, you know, changing the world, a lot of times the idea of half owning a business and running a business as a nonprofit trips people up.
Right. Now, you know, a person with real passion generally wants to commit themselves to full time, this kind of thing. Can they take a salary from a nonprofit?
Well, yes, yes, absolutely. In fact, this is my last week of being executive director at a nonprofit in Salisbury.
Right.
And I have a salary.
Okay.
You know, if there's one thing that people can take away is that you don't have to take a vow of poverty to be
right.
in a nonprofit, okay?
That's true.
You can't necessarily enrich yourself, you know, with profits.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the end. But on the other end, you know, no, it's not all, you don't all have to be volunteer. It's not Mother Teresa in Calcutta
right.
every day, you know, with a nonprofit. It, you know, nonprofits have to hire people. They have to, you know, they have to be able to recruit the right people because if you have a strong mission, you've got to have the right staff and the right leadership and management to get it done. And so people aren't going to work for free. And
right.
so you've got to raise the money and you got to pay the money out in salaries and out in overhead and operations.
So really the only difference is that you may not be selling or producing a certain commodity or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. but the people who are generous enough to give to the nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
they're giving to it to promote the work of that nonprofit, which you have to hire professionals and people who can make that happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So many founders, you know, eventually. Now, one thing that is one idea and a tip that I would give to your listeners is once the founder gets to a point where you can start taking a salary, you know, because of the conflict of interest, you should step off the board of directors that you most likely are chairing, most likely, and become the CEO and subject to the board of directors.
Right.
And because, you know, there is an inherent conflict of interest from a nonprofit perspective. If, you know, I'm deciding the pay for myself, you can kind of see where maybe in a for-profit area, you know, like I'm Jeff Bezos and I have Amazon, I can, you know, determine my pay. But
right.
nonprofits, there is a little bit more focus on good governance and corporate formalities. What I'm trying to say is I'm not discouraging anyone who has a passion, has a vision, wants to be a founder, and then eventually wants to sort of, you quote unquote, do well by doing good. Is that there is a right way to make that transition from founding a nonprofit and then taking a salary from it. And mm-hmm. as a plug, those are the sort of things where if you want to, you know, that I now, can help you with.
Now, if you are setting up a nonprofit and that you come to that point, how selecting the board of directors mm-hmm. is extremely important. And
Absolutely.
Most founders of nonprofits really do a poor job in selecting a board of directors. Can you tell us just a little bit about that? I know our time is winding up, but if you could tell us a little bit about that, I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, you know, there's many ways of starting a board of directors. You know, number one is getting your head around the idea that you have to have a board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
Because many founders, you know, a lot of them think they're sole proprietors. Many of them think that this is my business, this is my baby, I started this. It's, you know, I'm the one who put the money in. I'm the one who hired that attorney to, like, you know, start this nonprofit,
you know.
And so number one, I think, is just getting the idea that you have to share power.
Okay.
Now.
All right. Sharing power is not easy.
It's not. It's not, particularly if it's your vision, right?
That's
and then you've
true.
Got, it's like starting a band, right? If it's my vision, these are my songs, and then somebody wants to, you know, start playing something in a different key. I'm like, no. This is my vision. This is, and so... So number one, prepare of the notion of sharing power. If you're not interested in sharing power, but doing good, and this may be a topic of another discussion, there's a whole area called social entrepreneurship where many people, Ben and Jerry's and other, you know, even the King's Kitchen downtown, are utilizing for-profit entities, but doing social good.
Right.
And so you really are just against the idea of sharing power, there are other means to do that. But if you're going to do the nonprofit route, nonprofit corporation route, you got to learn to share power.
Okay, but there are a lot of mm-hmm. nonprofit corporations. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're for-profit corporations mm-hmm. that have nonprofit corporations, mm-hmm. and in those cases, sometimes they're using their own earnings to promote the good that they want to do in the community. Can a for-profit own a nonprofit?
Well, nobody really owns a nonprofit.
Okay, and I'm sorry about that.
So you can with a nonprofit, the difference between another difference between that and a for-profit, when we talk about power, it really comes down to voting.
Mm-hmm.
So you could structure your bylaws in a sense that the founder, the incorporator, maybe it's a corporation or their representative, has more voting power. You know, so and a lot of times in a for-profit, when you have more voting power, it means that's more ability to get more money out of the venture. But with a nonprofit, it a lot of times it just comes down to, can I choose who's on your board of directors?
Yes.
Can I, you know, can I choose the direction of where
Correct.
You're going?
Yeah.
And so the board of directors is the place where those heavy decisions are made. But then who's on your board of directors? And so a lot of the devils are in the details. This is where lawyers come in. Is number one, you have to check your articles of incorporation. If there's any language in there, that's going to trump everything. Or in your corporate bylaws.
Okay.
And if the bylaws say something, you know, that these certain members have, or these certain, you know, directors, or how you classify them, have more voting power than another type of director, that's how founders can, you know, sort of ensure that their vision is involved. And that's the kind of thing I do, is that particularly if I'm working with a founder, you know, I try to work with them to draft bylaws in a way that ensures that they can't be kicked out. You know, like mm-hmm. Ben and Jerry's, you know, they got real excited about doing social good and they went public, and then all the shareholders are like, you know, we're not really interested in that. And so they got kicked out of their own company, you know. And so and another thing is, the best time to kind of make these decisions is at the front end when everybody's happy. That goes for both for-profits and non-profits, is when everyone's at the front end, people are more amenable to changes and being more collaborative. And that's the time where the documents that you produce, the governance documents you produce, they should be done at that time, because when people are ticked off at each other and they're lawyering up and you didn't have the right documents in the first place, then that's where the whole mission can be blown up.
We're going to take a quick break here and we'll be right back.
The world premiere of the brand new single, I Can Love You Through Anything, by musician, singer, songwriter, and producer, Ken Hardio.
I can love you through anything.
Featuring Charlotte, North Carolina's very own musician, singer, songwriter, music educator, and producer, Quentin Bethay. This song has a message of hope and healing for people of all ages across the globe. Get your copy now. Available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Google Play.
So really, a lot of it has to do with where you start this.
Yes.
Yeah, and of course, that's what you do is, as an attorney, this is your primary area of interest, and you can help people get off to the right start.
Yeah, if they, you know, helping them get started on the right track. But, you know, if you're, you know, midstream, you know, and you're already there, I mean, there's a good chance for you to have an attorney there to kind of, you know, revise your bylaws. And you know, also the dynamic, if you've got a board of directors and you've got an executive director and a staff, and there's inherent, you know, trust me, I've been through this, there's inherent issues between sharing power, between what's the difference between governance and management. One thing that an attorney would might, like, you know, can do is to sort of help both in writing and also just through mediating, is just figure, you know, helping that group figure out what the happy mean is.
Well, you know, and that does become a problem, because even with a nonprofit or for-profit, when it gets big enough and the numbers are huge, mm-hmm. It becomes a problem with power, because
we're humans.
Yeah, we're humans. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the real issue is. You know, Rocky, I think what we really need to do is make this a two-part show.
I'm
because
down with that.
This is just really interesting, because there are a lot of people out there that really have some great ideas mm-hmm. about doing good in the community. And, hey, it looks like that what we're doing is great, but all of a sudden what started out to be good mm-hmm. ends up in a bad way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what I'd like to do is maybe make this a sort of a two-part interview, because I've got some people that are starting up nonprofits, and mm-hmm. it would be great to have a conversation
sure.
with both sides on the show. So we're going to bring you back on the show,
absolutely.
Rocky, and we're going to sit down and talk about this, because your practice is in Charlotte, North Carolina, even though mm-hmm. our show is syndicated, and we're all over the U.S. as well as foreign countries, but I think we should have this conversation, because I think there are people all over the U.S. starting up nonprofits,
yes.
and
yes.
even some nonprofits that are servicing overseas areas.
Yes.
So that will be great for us. Now, just before we close, Rocky, I want you to tell our listening audience mm-hmm. how to make contact with you, because they may need your services. And then we're going to come back in part two.
Okay.
And we're going to bring some nonprofit entrepreneurs on board with us.
Okay. Well, I am actually, as of October 1st, joining the law firm of Hull and Chandler in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I can be reached at 704-375-8488. That'll be starting October 1st.
Okay.
Again, that's 704-375-8488. And I'm just ask for Rocky.
Okay. That sounds great. All right. It's been great having you on the show, and we look forward to having you back on part two.
I'm excited. Thank you so much, Dr. Miller.
All right. Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you are the live in an angry world, a world that is so angry until it seems like that we're doing evil to one another. But we must remember that whenever we're living in an angry world, we have to deal with angry people. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the hearts of every human being. So it's not just one person, it's every person. If you're out there today and you're struggling because it seems like evil has been done to you and people seem to be angry with you about something of the past or something that has just recently happened, don't let that kind of anger force you to do things that you know is not the right thing to do. Because anger is never without reason, but seldom is the reason a good one. So that means that you have to remember that whatever people do, whatever a man sows, he must also reap. So reaping time will soon come. But also remember that Joseph was the prime example of when evil is done to you, the approach that you must take. You remember when Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, but after they sold him into slavery, Joseph prospered in the midst of that. So what does that mean? What they meant for evil, God meant for good. So just remember that when evil is done to you, remember the story of Joseph. What they meant for evil, God means for good.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Connection Show with Dr. David Miller, making a connection for you and equipping people to connect with their purpose. Don't forget to log on to the ConnectCenterNC.com. That's ConnectCenterNC.com. If you'd like to reach Dr. David Miller, email theconnectcenter3@gmail.com. That's theconnectcenter3@gmail.com. And remember, never lose the connection to your purpose. It's time for the Faith Connection Show with your host, Dr. David Miller, equipping people to connect with their purpose. In the next half hour, you will be inspired with words of encouragement. And you'll be motivated by experts in the respective field who have been where you're trying to go on the Faith Connection Show. But first, here's an inspirational word.
This is Bawana Miller Cannon with your word of the day. It's your destiny. Are you walking in it? The world as we know it today is all about clicks and popularity. We tend to accept the mindset of the masses and lose our individuality in the process. I tell my son all the time, just be you. Everyone else is taken. There's so much to life. You can't afford to live another day restrained or limited from the greatness he has created for you. I encourage you to step out on faith, but you must also step out of the crowd. Eagles fly alone. Maybe that's why they don't fret storms.
Change me, oh God. Make me more like you. Change me, oh God. Wash me through and through. Create in me a clean. Worship you. Change me, oh God. Make me more like you. Change me, oh God. Wash me through and through. Just create in me a clean. Change me. Whatever's not like you, Lord, I want you to.
and just put your hands on yourself. Lord, I want you to change me. Like only you can, Lord. Change me. Can y'all help me say it? It's easy. Say it like you mean it. Change me. Whatever's not like you, Lord, I want you to. From the inside out, Lord. Oh, a little change. I need you to. Change me. Or you can say it.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Connection Show. And here's Dr. Miller with his special guest.
We have on the show with us today Dr. Edward Cragen, who is an MD at the Mayo Clinic. And Dr. Cragen is an oncologist there, but he's more than just an oncologist because he has such a great message, both spiritual and probably from many perspectives, that he deals with his patients. And I wanted to have him on the show today because I think this is something that is dear to my heart because of my 40 plus years in the ministry. And I've always felt that healing and ministry walk hand in hand in this world because the spirit person and the physical person are synonymous with one another. And I just think it's important. Well, Dr. Cragen, and I'm going to call him Dr. Ed because that's what all of his patients call him. Dr. Ed, we're glad to have you on the show today.
Dr. Miller, this is a gift. This is a privilege that you and your team are allowing for me to touch our listeners. And I've read your background, I've read that the work that you do, and we're all searching, we're all trying to make this planet a little bit better, especially during time of chaos and tragedy and uncertainty.
And that's an absolute, Dr. Ed. I think that everybody has a responsibility. There's a great scripture that says that Christ knew us when we were in our mother's womb. And I think he purposed it. It says, and he purposed us. And I think that all of us have a purpose. This is a journey. And I think that we have to be mindful that this journey was not given to us just to for a vacation journey, but it was given to us in order to impart into this world. Now, Dr. Ed, tell us a little bit about yourself. My listeners, I'm sure they're anxious to hear about you and this journey you're on.
Well, thank you, Dr. Will. And for our listeners out there, I grew up on the East Coast in a bizarre environment. My father was a jockey's agent and a bookmaker and a handicapper. So his job was to convince a trainer to let his jockey ride that horse. And I learned more lessons at racetracks, Dr. Miller. One of them was never bet on anything that eats. And he also said, be nice to everybody, because the guys you meet on the way up, you're going to meet on the way down.
That's the
and
truth.
They ain't going to forget. Now, from an educational standpoint, my education on end of life began when I was about 10 years of age in a rooming house in Newark, New Jersey, outside of New York City. And we lived there because the family fortunes were perilous. And there was a gentleman who was dying from cancer of the rectum. And my job was to change the appliance that collected the wastes from his intestine. And whether this was grace, divine intervention, I don't know, but I knew that my life's work would be focused on patients at the end of their lives. And it's a gift that I've cherished. Went to LaSalle College in Philadelphia, New York Medical College, at the University of Michigan, and our family and I have been blessed to be at Mayo Clinic for 41 seasons, 41 winters.
My goodness. And you're out in Minnesota, right?
Yes, Rochester, Minnesota, home of the Vikings.
Right.
And if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, there'll be a mass suicide watch.
Well, because I know now why you recognize your stay there by winners, because you guys have some harsh winners out there.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Yeah, Rochester, Minnesota, home of Mayo Clinic, is about 100 miles south of Minneapolis, and been blessed to have been acknowledged as the top hospital in the country for a number of consecutive years. And that acknowledgement comes from the boots on the ground. These are the people dealing with difficult challenges day after day, trying to give it their best shot under very difficult circumstances.
Well, you know, caregiving is difficult, and of course, you have to have a passion for it.
Yes.
You really do. Now, Dr. Ed, we're going to discuss a couple of things here today, because this interview may end up doing it in two parts on the show, but
sure.
Basically, I was impressed with the fact that you wrote two books. One book is called Farewell, and the other book is How Not to Be My Patient.
Now, yes.
I want to begin by talking about the farewell, because you spend a lot of time because you are in cancer research, and
yes,
you spend a lot of time with people at the end of their journey. And you made a statement off air to me about the regrets that people who are transitioning have.
Yes.
Could you share that with our audience?
I think the human condition is to be as successful as we can, because we all have some talents. And a recurrent theme at the bedside was a sense of regret. I could have been playing on the big stage. I could have had a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. I could have drained the three from downtown, to use a basketball analogy. but they never achieved those goals. And there was that ache in their heart. There was that hole in the soul that was very difficult to fill as they recognized that that time was running out. Never, Dr. Miller, did I hear about the size of my portfolio, my 403B, how many cars I had, but it was that sense that there was business that was not completed, and that was really eroding the soul of some of these patients.
My gracious. And, you know, when you think about that, you think about that we're on a journey, and when you don't complete your purpose in life, there are many regrets. I went to the bedside of one of my friends, and he was passing away, and of course he was very sick. And the one thing he said to me, and that's what purposed me to ask you to say that, is he said to me that, Dave, only thing I regret is that I could have done more with my life.
Yes.
And yes, those words have stuck with me. And he knew in his heart that he had done what he could do, but he could have done more.
Yeah.
And
there's a poet, Ralph Greenleaf Whittier, and he had a phrase that I've shared with the audience. He said, "The saddest words of tongue or pen, I will never know how good I could have been."
My. That is a powerful statement.
Yeah. And Rocky, the great Rocky Balboa, said, "All I want to be is a contender." I want to go the distance.
And he did that, huh?
He did that with his manager, Mickey, and Adrian, and his brother-in-law, Paulie. You know, the American success story.
That's the truth. Well, let me ask you this question, Dr. Ed. You know, what happens when family can't agree on the end-of-life care for a dying family member?
I think many patients have a sense that there is an afterlife. There is a presence, there is an environment that they will be going to. And I think for people of a faith system, that gives a tremendous sense of peace, knowing that the journey is not over, it is simply taking a detour.
Oh,
and virtually every one of these patients has reached out to that higher power, however we may be defining it, to give them consolation during that final journey.
Dr. Ed, we've run out of time, and we're going to have to move on, but we want to have you back again on the show to discuss that second book. We're going to hear from Donald Lawrence and Leandra Johnson. This is My Exodus.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. But sometimes, the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Lord, deliver me. 'Cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me. Lord, deliver me. 'Cause all I seem to do is hide.
Repeat after me if you're struggling with your past and say,
oh, oh, oh.
Let the Lord know. Just say, oh,
oh, oh.
He wants to restore your soul. Just say,
deliver me.
Hey, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. Break it on down. So it is. It is so. Amen. Now when we pray, we want to end that with a declaration, a decree. So I'm speaking for all of you listening, starting here, starting now. The things that hurt you in the past won't control your future. Starting now, this is a new day. This is your exodus. You are officially released. Now sing it for me, Leandria.
Premiere of the brand new single I Can Love You Through Anything by musician, singer, songwriter, and producer Ken Hardio.
I can love you through anything.
Featuring Charlotte, North Carolina's very own musician, singer, songwriter, music educator, and producer Quentin Bethay. This song has a message of hope and healing for people of all ages across the globe. Get your copy now. Available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Google Play.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with, so I started drinking. Thought it would help ease my pain, but things got worse. So I said, Lord, I give up, I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the streets day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door,
but they all make fun of me and say I'm a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save me. Save the Lord, save. Can save. Ooh, he can save. Save your soul. I tell you, save. Through Jesus Christ, your life can be changed and made whole. He can bring everlasting joy and peace within your soul. And in many ways, I feel just save, like that old man. Born in the country, save, raised on a farm. No money, no fancy clothes, no fine homes and cars. But thank God, save, Mama and Daddy raised me up on the save, real deal. And that's God Almighty. Save, and sometimes when I sing about Jesus soul, and people won't listen, I feel like I'm just a nobody.
Here's an inspirational word from Dr. David Miller.
Conflict is a very difficult thing to deal with, and we live through conflict every day. But one of the things about conflict that we must realize is that conflict is necessary. It is necessary because conflict is difficult, but it is extremely necessary because it reveals the truth in our lives. Someone out there is going through a great conflict today. You're conflicted about your home, conflicted about your job, and it seems like the conflict you're going through makes your life extremely difficult to deal with. But I want you to know, you must embrace your conflicts, because conflict brings forth personal growth and insight. It helps you to understand who you are and whose you are and how you're able to overcome things. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors because we're able to handle conflict by the grace of God. You know, the greatest conflict in life bring us the greatest tribulations in life. And sometimes those tribulations bring to us a great deliverance. The civil rights movement is a great example of conflict at its best. It was a conflict that brought forth people and pulled people together of all races and colors. It brought people to a sense of understanding and love for one another. Even in your home, you must deal with conflict, because in your home, conflict allows you to understand that it's better to talk to each other than to talk at each other. Your children, your family, everybody has conflict in their lives. So embrace your conflicts. Embrace your conflicts. Because if you're able to embrace your conflicts, you will understand that peace can come out of conflict. Because our great president, Ronald Reagan, once said, peace is not absent of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means. So I admonish you today as we close, understand your conflicts and understand how to handle conflict, because conflict is necessary in order to improve and strengthen your life. Embrace your conflicts.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Connection Show with Dr. David Miller, making a connection for you and equipping people to connect with their purpose. Don't forget to log on to the ConnectCenterNC.com. That's ConnectCenterNC.com. If you'd like to reach Dr. David Miller, email theconnectcenter3@gmail.com. That's theconnectcenter3@gmail.com. And remember, never lose the connection to your purpose.